One of the items that the governor talked about during his budget address back in the end of January was Medicaid expansion. Is something we're hearing a lot about. We're hearing the pros and cons, and there's potentially legislation that could be heard, maybe on the floor, definitely probably in a committee or two here in the Senate, I would say pretty soon.
There are a number of us that are certainly think that that's a very bad idea for the state. We're trying to keep up with where bills have been filed and what kind of support that they have. We know of two bills in the Senate that are in committee right now. I don't know whether there's a schedule for hearing those bills. The concerns that some of us have is that the Hospital Association, being probably the primary lobbying group that's working very hard to push Medicaid expansion, because they do have a great deal to gain in the promise of more federal dollars into Missouri's healthcare system. There are a number of reasons why I absolutely do not support that expansion, you know, not the least of which is the budget consideration. I know just speaking to a former budget chair from the Missouri House, his claim is that without any expansion in Medicaid, we're looking at about $150 million a year growth in Missouri's budget commitment to Medicaid, and that's without the expansion. And the expansion would then increase that significantly. I don't have the numbers on it. I just know it's going to be substantial in terms of an increase. We're hearing from educators almost daily now that we're in the budget process, wanting to know whether we'll be able to fund the formula this year and encouraging us to do that. We're hearing from virtually every program in terms of the state budget, wanting to know what they're going to be faced with and whether they're going to need to take cuts. And in the face of all this, we're being asked to take what's called free money from the federal government that's supposed to help us climb out of the budget hole that we are in, along with so many other states. There are several arguments that are being used to support Medicaid expansion. I don't think any of those is credible. Some of them are not as completely untruthful as others, but none of them I find to be credible. One is that the federal government's going to be funding it for free for the first few years. And anytime we're talking about taxpayer dollars, it's not free. We're just deciding which taxpayers will pay for what. So there will be tax dollars. And actually, in our day, we're borrowing almost half of every dollar we spend. We're not really even talking about dollars. We're talking about debt. So as the federal government makes promises to fund something, they're really promising more debt. They're promising a commitment from our children and our grandchildren for possibly generation. I think we should be very suspicious in a government that's borrowing almost half of everything it spends of any promise of free money. We should always remember that it's taxpayer dollars that we're spending. It isn't free money. We don't just print that money without somebody being obligated to come up with the cash. One of the other arguments that is frequently used in any government program, but it's probably more false here than in most, is the idea that, well, if we don't take the money, then the other states will just get it. That's completely false, because this is not just a pot of money or pot of debt that is just distributed up amongst those who say they will take it. Medicaid dollars come to the states in accordance with the claims that we have on those Medicaid dollars. You have to be accepted into the program. There's levels of commitment. So it is already a constrained system. No state will get dollars just because Missouri refuses those dollars. It's not a pointless exercise where the federal government will go into the same amount of debt. They won't go into more debt by us refusing to take that debt. That's a false argument that I think the hospitals and others are just hoping that people don't understand or they don't think through, and so that they can use this idea of there's this pot of money out here, and if we don't take our share, somebody else will get it. Nobody else will get it. And also the idea that expansion will create jobs. Certainly, if you fund any industry beyond the cash flow that it generates, at least temporarily, you will see something happen to that money. It'll be spent on something. And in the healthcare industry, it's very likely that some of it would be spent on hiring people, on adding staff. The question is, what happens to that staff whenever that money disappears? And the answer is that the money has to come from somewhere else. And so what we're really doing by accepting the federal money is we're building up an infrastructure that we already know is unsustainable, because if it was sustainable, we'd already have that infrastructure. So again, I think that the argument is very empty. Upon just a little bit of thought, you can discount it. And then finally, that we'll have better health care outcomes, that we'll have thousands of people who currently are not able to get health care who will get health care. We know after the Medicaid reforms of 2005 that we took primarily healthy people off those rolls. And so we already know that the Medicaid dollars are at least going to those that are most likely to be needy of those dollars, both health-wise and financially. There is little or no evidence from other states that expanding Medicaid actually does increase health care outcomes. So that's another very weak argument. It's one that philosophically sounds like it should be true. And in the free market, I think it would be true, Dean. I think it would be if this was a market-driven situation where you had the natural checks and balances of a free market economy and you had the distribution of care in accordance with the needs. But in a government-controlled scenario, we aren't assured of that because we have bureaucrats that are running it. We have rules and standards that have to be lived up to that don't necessarily align with better health care outcomes. So I think all four of those arguments become very weak, if not completely false, and that for us to engage in $150 million of natural expansion plus additional expansion every year, commitment to Medicaid, which that portion of the budget already takes a far greater percentage than any other section of spending, including education, that we are simply putting both our children and grandchildren in debt. We're building up an infrastructure in healthcare that is unsustainable, and we're not even likely to have increased healthcare outcomes. When I put all that together, it's clear to me that I should oppose this on behalf of the general welfare of my constituents and of the whole state of Missouri.
We had heard the same, as you say, free money claim the last 4 or 5 years from the what was called the stimulus. Same situation where all the spending would be begun by the federal government and then picked up by the states with the same argument of if Missouri doesn't take it, then Illinois or Kansas or whomever else will take it as well. It sounds a lot like what we heard just 4 or 5 years ago.
It does indeed, and that's an excellent observation because I think most people would agree that that stimulus has not done what we were promised it would do. I'm not saying that no one benefited from it. There have been individuals that benefited from it. There was very much a prioritization of those kinds of funds. And there's a lot of politics that goes into the distribution of funds like that, and most people are not happy with that. But you're right, that is not an unreasonable analogy to use to say if we haven't seen what we really would have liked to have seen or were told we could see in the stimulus funds, then why would this more targeted stimulus produce even better results? And I think we're seeing the support primarily from those folks who do stand to gain because they would be the ones who are looking to receive the money that the government has promised and are not as concerned about what happens once that money disappears or where that money's coming from or whether or not there's a balanced distribution or an effective distribution of it. It's more of a special interest perspective. And I think in the legislature, there's a growing sense of the need for us to stand by our oath to the Constitution and to the general welfare rather than to a specific special interest group.